That's right, a song about car loans. That took some doing, I have to tell you. Because we're going to talk about car loans with Herb, who's here from he's the Emmy Award-winning broadcaster, contributing editor at checkbook.org. He is the Consumer Man. Good evening, Consumer Man.
Pick Beatles, baby, you can drive my car, you just can't afford to buy it.
But I know, but that said car loan.
Oh, I know. I never heard that before.
I don't even think it's really a song.
Okay.
I think it's some sort of somebody cut a jingle for I didn't got investigate. It. I just grabbed it.
Okay. Okay. Not your committee.
Okay. Now I got to tell you. I have a car that's a little over five years old.
Okay.
And I don't owe any money on it. I own it lock, stock, and barrel.
Right.
But it needs some couple of $1,000s maybe worth of repair. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe, who knows, sell it, get another car. And I read your article, and I'm like, honey, we're keeping the car. Man.
Well, yes. Checkbook.org has lists of good mechanics in the Chicagoland area, so you can just go there and check out, make sure you get a good mechanic and get it fixed up. Yeah, it's amazing. According to Kelley Blue Book, the estimated average selling price for the average new car is $50,080, 50 grand for a new car.
Well, I can understand 50 grand for a new car, but an average price, that's crazy.
Yeah. And here's one piece that I just found and was not in my story. And this is a shocker. The 2026 models, you know, are just starting to arrive in dealers' lots. And they've already upped the MSRP, the asking price. That has now reached a new record high, $52,183.
Wow.
So, baby, you can drive my car. You just can't afford to buy it. I'll tell you that right now.
So how about the loans that people will be looking at?
That was the whole point of the story that we wrote here for checkbook.org, is that to deal with the sticker shock and to be able to get a car, a lot of people are doing two things. They're paying less down payment, they have less equity in the vehicle. But the big thing is they're taking out long loans, incredibly long loans. And more than one in five new car loans taken out during the last 4 years, according to an analysis by Edmunds, the car expert people, were for 84 months. That's 7 years. And some people are taking out 8-year loans, which are 96 months. It's incredible.
Wow.
It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
you have to really believe you got some longevity around if you're going to take out a loan that long, right?
I saw those figures and I'm like, whoa, 84 months, 96 months.
Yeah.
Please.
The most you should probably do is 60 months is what most of the experts recommend. Absolutely not 84 or 96. And the reason is, well, there's two reasons. Number one, you're going to pay more interest because the longer the loan, the more interest you're going to pay. So your overall costs are going to go up dramatically. And the second one is you're going to be upside down longer in the loan. I'll just share real quickly a number with you. So let's say you had a $35,000 new car loan at 9% interest. NerdWallet ran the numbers. With a 36-month loan, your payment would be $1,113 and the total interest would be $5,068. But if you shot up to that 84-month loan, John, the payment's going to go really low, 563, but the total interest is 12,300.
Man.
So you're paying for that. And the other part is the upside down, what some people call, you may have heard called underwater. It means you don't have equity in your vehicle.
Right.
So if for any reason you go home and say, honey, we need a new car because it was stolen or because it was totaled in an accident, you're never going to get the value of the vehicle if they total it, or it was in a fire, or suddenly there's another member of the Landecker family, maybe a new dog or something, you need a bigger car, you're going to have to get a new vehicle by rolling the loan over into the new vehicle, and that way you just get in this cycle of debt and get in deeper and deeper and deeper, and you never have any equity in the vehicle, and you never own the vehicle, which is just horrible. So those are two things that happen if you take out these really, really long car loans. The problem a lot of people make, and we've always recommended this at Checkbook, is don't go in looking for the monthly payment. If you come in and say, hi, I'd like a $600 monthly payment, they will find a way to make that work with the math. What you have to do is find a vehicle you can afford, and if you can't, then maybe you either have to save up some more, you have to get a lower model car, like maybe instead of a low-end luxury, you get a high-end normal car, which are really great. The Toyotas, the Hyundais, Lexuses, the Toyotas, Hyundais, Kias, Mazdas are great. I have a Toyota Camry, best car I ever drove. It's I got it for like $33,000, and I think the new ones now are 36 or 8 or whatever. They're not even in the near 50. Or buy a used car, which those cars are really expensive too, but it's less than a new vehicle.
Yeah, these payment books that you get uh-huh. with a loan. I was just uh-huh. imagining how thick the payment book for an 86 months of car payments. I mean, that thing's got to be. That's got to be like a deck of cards or something.
Man. Like the Chicago phone book.
Yes, indeed. So the loan getting the loan aspect of it is what? I mean, what would be a acceptable rate in your opinion?
36 months is fabulous, but if you have to go out 60, most experts, Consumer Reports, other experts I spoke to from my checkbook article say try not to go past 60 months, then you're going to really get into that negative equity situation for a whole lot longer. You're going to get yourself in trouble. So, and if you can't go that, again, save up, try to get a different model car, mm-hmm. or maybe think about a used vehicle. Again, the used vehicles are more expensive than you've probably realized. The
Absolutely.
Other thing is shop for the loan. You know, you're buying money. You're shopping for a loan, you're buying money. And interest rates really do vary. You don't have to get it from the dealership. You know, before you go, check with your local credit union or bank or even a national lender and see if you can get a better rate. But if the dealer is, if you have good credit and the dealer or excellent credit and the dealer is offering some below market promotional rate, sure, go with the dealer. But you don't have to. Shop for the money just like you would shopping for the vehicle. And that's going to save you money in the long run.
More with Herb Weisbaum, the Consumer Man, when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, 820. We got Herb on the line, the Consumer Man. And robocalls, scams, that's the topic. Take it away.
John, you and I have talked about robocalls for years. And I did another story about them recently. It's never been worse. It's unbelievable, despite all the talk, all the action, all the words about it. A new study by USPIRG, that's a big consumer group, found that the volume of robocalls is increasing because many phone companies didn't put the technology in place that was required by the Federal Communications Commission to block out robocalls. So we're having just a stream of robocalls. But one in particular has probably got my attention because people are getting this more than a whole lot of other robocalls combined. It used to be the car warranty one. Remember that one?
Sure.
Your car warranty's expired.
You bet, yeah.
But of course, you don't have a warranty. You didn't have it with these people. It didn't expire.
Wait, I have a warranty? What are you talking
right.
about?
Yeah. So, like, people called me and said, I don't have a car. It's like, how can my car warranty expire? Well, this is a fake loan approval robocall. So identity thieves have come up with this new way to steal your financial information. They're calling you with an update on a loan that you never applied for. And the call starts with a fictitious sounding company such as Lending Union or Capital Union Funding or Nationwide Lending Services or the Small Business Union or whatever. And the message says your loan application for a big dollar amount, $150,000, $180,000, depending on the call, has been approved, but you need to call right away to confirm a couple of quick things before your application expires. So here is one of those calls from a guy named Jason.
Really?
Oh, do we not have the call? I guess we do not have the call.
Hold on a second. Do we have a call from a guy named Jason? Is he wearing a mask? Carrying an axe? I don't know.
Okay, I sent it in, but anyway, we obviously didn't get loaded in the system. He calls in, and he says, very nice and very friendly, and he says that, I'm calling because it's going to expire, and I don't want you to lose the loan, and we got this money for you, and we really want to help you. And, of course, it's so friendly. I can't tell, by the way, whether it's AI is that Jason? Did I hear Jason there?
Maybe. Yes, he's arrived. There he is.
So you see, he's friendly. He's trying to help you. It's not the old robocall. Hello, this is the Social Security Administration calling. I can't tell seriously whether it's a person recorded that or it's an AI. It doesn't matter.
Well, the
there's a whole bunch of them, different people's names, women, men, the whole routine, and everybody, their brother, is getting them.
The thing that got me was he gave you a if you punch 9, if you no longer want these calls. I'm like, what? That surprised me.
Uh-uh. First of all, these are con artists. They do not have a do not call list. They're already breaking the law by calling you. They do not have a do not call list. And the opinion on this varies, but many people say if you were to respond, it tells the computer that it's a working phone number and send them more calls.
But
absolutely don't interact in any way, shape, or form with that.
Of course
not. Right. But anyway, so, you know, they're hoping, con artists are always looking for something to get your curiosity to make you respond quickly. And maybe you're going to say, I didn't reply for a loan, but somebody wants to give me 180 grand. Maybe I should at least see what's going on. No. Uh-huh. And they get you on the line and they do their tricks. What they're going to try to get from you, of course, is your social security number and your banking information so they can commit identity theft is what they're after in this thing. And I told you how aggressive this was. According to the Federal Trade Commission, which put out a bulletin about this, John, they say some people, according to complaints, have received bursts of calls anywhere from 5 to 20 a day.
What?
All from different numbers, but with the same story. 5 to 20 of these things a day some people are getting.
Are these being made by a computer? I mean, it's not real individuals.
I can't tell. AI is so good today that it could actually be done by a computer. It doesn't matter. It's the same. It's a scam no matter what. But I can't tell because AI has gotten so good now that it actually could be generated by AI and you would never be able to tell. But again, it's the pitch. It doesn't matter. The goal is to steal your identity. So it doesn't really matter where it's coming from.
Anybody ever catch any of these people?
Very rarely do. In many cases, they're overseas. It's very hard. I mean, the goal is you've got to protect yourself and not give them the information. I listed an address in the story from Checkbook that if you happen to do this and you want to call report it to the Better Business Bureau scam tracker that lets other people who are looking know what's going on. You can report it to the Federal Trade Commission. But again, most of these people are so far away they can't be gotten after. The one thing I will suggest is if you're not, first of all, here's my advice. If you're not familiar with the number, let it go to voicemail. Then you can figure out later whether it's something you want to deal with. So if it's not in your contact list and it's not showing up a number, it says unknown or whatever, let it go to voicemail. Then you can think about it, deal with it, and figure out if it's legit or not. If you're not sure, ask someone you trust or contact the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline. It's a free service. You do not have to be an AARP member. I work with these folks all the time. They know every scam that there is out there. And the number is 877-908-3360. You can go online and look them up. AARP Fraud Watch Network, 877-908-3360. Or call the Better Business Bureau or your State Attorney General's office. They will tell you that these things are a scam. But before you get sucked in, you need to check with somebody and make sure you're not giving your information to a con artist. But don't answer.
Yeah.
Don't think because the phone rings, you got to answer it. You really don't.
No, of course not. I'm surprised that there are still there's an amount of people who actually fall for this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Well, they wouldn't be doing it if people weren't falling for it. You know,
right.
Exactly. We all think nobody ever answers the phone, but obviously somebody's answering the phone, and their curiosity is letting them kill the cat and do this thing. So you don't want that to happen whatsoever. There's a lot of really bad guys out there trying to steal your information, your money, and this is just the latest way. And it's a very clever and annoying robocall scam that these guys got going on.
That's why we have you, Herb. What do we need to get this get information from you on a regular basis, even if you're not on the radio?
Oh, thank you, John. Well, you can actually find me in many places. All my stories are at checkbook.org. That's the nonprofit I work for. No advertising accepted. We just tell it like it is. You can go to my website if you want to, consumerman.com. And if you click on the little icon that's mail, send me an email, ask me a question. See, I heard you on Landecker. I answer every single letter that comes in from your listeners, John. I get a number of them, and it's really nice to hear from them. And final thing is, if you go to consumerpedia.org, that's the podcast I do. The next one comes out on Thursday, and it's all about shopping tips for the holidays. And we will be talking to you about that later in the month.
Oh, well, I'll be looking forward to that.
Consumerpedia.org. You're welcome, John. Be well.
All right. You too.